saints of God are gathered. Oh, we will tell the story how we come. Oh, and we'll understand it better by. Sing that again. We'll sing it by and by. When the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered, then we will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. And we are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests succeed the bright sunshine in that land of perfect day. When the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. We're singing by and by. When the morning comes, when all, oh, of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. And we are often destitute of the things that life demands. One of food and one of shelter, hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, sing it by and by. When the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered, then we will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Trials hard on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessing. Oh, but He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we rise. We'll understand it better by and by. We'll sing it by and by. When the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. When we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. We'll sing it by and by. When the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we hope. Oh, and we'll understand it better by. We'll sing it again. Oh, yes, by and by. When the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we hope. Oh, and we'll understand it better by and by. And I'm leaning on the everlasting arm. I'm leaning on the everlasting. Oh, yes, I'm leaning. in the house of the Lord? Amen. Are you leaning on His arms? Hallelujah. We have a few prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Amen. We have a request for Sister Hollis. She's having some congestion and a hard time breathing. I want us to remember her in prayer. Also, Brother Hollis has decided not to receive treatment for his prostate cancer. He's trusting in God for his healing. Amen. How many can trust with Him? Amen. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. I want to remember Sister Janice Adams. She's in a lot of pain today. I request that we keep her in our prayer. So I want you to remember my wife, Bethany. She's at home, not feeling well this morning. Also, I've had a bit of a cough, so you might have to bear with me this morning. Amen. But we love the Lord anyway. He's never failed us yet. Amen. I want to pray also for Brother Tim, Brother Timothy, as we're ministering there in Oklahoma. And how many has an unspoken need? You just want to lift your hand to the Lord. Amen. God is faithful. Amen. Sing that song. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Yes, Brother David Butts, if I'll open the service in a word of prayer. And because He lives, oh, I can face tomorrow. And because He lives, all my fear, it's gone. Oh, and because I know, oh, yes, I know that He holds my future. My life is worth the living just because He lives. And because He lives, oh, and because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Yes, because He lives, oh, all my fear is gone. And because
also, and we have eternal life through Him. Let's just bow our heads. Father, it's in Your precious name, Lord, that we come this morning. Knowing, O God, that we're Your children and You're our Father, and we're so grateful that we have that relationship with You, Lord. Nothing can come between us, Lord, nothing between our soul and our Savior. We thank You for that promise, Lord. Father, we just thank You for the opportunity, O God, that You've given us this morning to come and worship You, Lord, and Spirit and in truth, under the umbrella of this wonderful word that we've heard in this last day. And we just ask, Father, that You'll speak to each heart, Lord, minister to each soul, Lord, that has a need. Speak through our brother Joe this morning, O God. We just ask that he'll be a yielded vessel, and that our hearts, O God, will just be yielded to Your leadership this morning. Father, for these needs that were read across this desk, Lord, we just ask that Your Holy Spirit, the healing virtues of Calvary, will just flow to each one, Lord. Brother Hollis, Lord, that's suffering in his body, we just ask a special blessing upon him in his faith, Lord, that's knowing, O God, he's trusting in You for his healing, Lord, and we just pray that You'll just honor that faith, Lord. For Sister Bethany at home, each one, O God, that was mentioned, we ask that You'll just speak to each need, Father. If there be a soul here this morning, Lord, that don't know You, we ask before this service is over, Lord, that they would know You in the power of Your resurrection, Lord. May, O God, You just speak each heart, Lord. You're the divider of the spirit, Lord, that divides between the soul and spirit. We just ask, O God, that You'll have mercy. Bring us closer to You, Father, we pray. We commit this service, everything that we do and say this morning. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.
Long years ago, went out and said, I had no
came when he took your sins away. Amen. You can be seated. Ask Brother Jonathan and Sister Mandy if they'd bring their special. As they come, let's sing that song together. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face.
And oh, I want to see him and look upon his face. There to see forever of his saving grace. And it's all the streets of glory.
What I hold on to, I know that. need a Savior. I need you, Savior.
Amen. Yes, I need more of you, till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours, they're yours, the start to the finish. Yes, I need more. I need more of you, I need more, I need more of you. Yes, that's the way it's got to be. I need more of you, till there's no room left in me. I need more of you. Yes, Lord, that's the way it's got to be. And I need more of you, till there's no room left in me. And all My hope is in the Lord. This time on and evermore. Oh, my hope is in the Lord forever. Amen. My hope, yes, it's in the Lord. From this time on and evermore, oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. I stand in awe within the presence of the Lord, in whom the wisdom of the
morning. Amen. Glory to God. I tell you, if you've been through what I've been through this morning, He definitely is your hope.
All right.
You say, Brother Joe, well, we're just in the morning, exactly. I was up at 6:45 with the baby, trying to help my wife, and I had to study, and she needed some sleep so she can come to church. And so there wasn't much studying done this morning, but I'm prepared.
All right.
So don't look at me like I got two or three little things up here, and that's all I got. I got a whole iPad full of notes, so we're going to just trust in the Lord. But we're having issues with our streaming this morning. Our apologies go out to those who would get this DVD. We will try to get it back up. Brother Mike and I was here yesterday for several hours and had everything going to get here this morning, and everything is not working. So He's our hope.
Amen.
I don't know about you this morning, but I'm trusting in Him this morning.
Amen.
I need Him to come on the scene and take control of the service. Let's just go to Him in prayer. Father, Lord, as I sit here trembling, Father, with nerves, a little bit shaken because of the morning that we've had so far. And Lord, Brother Mike felt led to sing this song, My Hope is in the Lord. Father, I can identify with that right now, God. Lord, the nerves that's going through my body, the tremors that are shaking, Lord God. Lord, I'm completely yielded and at Your mercy this morning, Father. Lord, I just place my hope, my faith, my trust in the anointing by which You'd bring by our way this morning, God, and that You would speak expressly to us, Father. You see the notes that are laying before me. Lord, You see the enemy is how he's attacked since early this morning, Father. Lord, trying to rattle me and shake me, oh God, so that I cannot bring the message to the people the way that You've given it. Lord, I pray right now that You would, Lord, You'd bind every hindering spirit, God. Every tormenting spirit that would try to hinder the receiving of the word and the delivering of the word this morning, God, may You bind it together right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we stand together as sons and daughters of God. And we invite You, Lord God, that You'll just move on the scene. Bless the remainder of this service, Father. Bless the preaching of Your word, Lord, and the receiving of Your word. For we ask it this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. If you give me a little bit of volume or some volume or any volume. Thank you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning because I have a lengthy text. I appreciate your willingness to stand, and I wouldn't have you not stand, but this is, we're going to read of all of Isaiah 52 and all of Isaiah 53 this morning. I just want to kind of set the platform and just to tell you, we had a good meeting Friday night with your young people. We preached on Your Time to Run. Wish we would have had a better attendance, but those that did come, we just had a great time in the presence of God, and I believe that they went away charged, then went away excited with a new desire, and to realize we're in a race, and it's a race called life, and we're all predestinated to run this race, and we're called to run it, and yet we got to run it to achieve the prize. So it was a good time, and we actually did record it on DVD, and so if you would by chance like to get that, I'm not trying to promote myself, but if you would like to get it, it's out there. We're going to look here in Isaiah 52, and it says, Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments. And the Zion, of course, is referring to the bride. So I want you to put yourself in these scriptures here. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O bride. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for naught. You shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doeth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings. Publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. We're not preaching to you a dead God this morning. We're preaching to you about a God that reigns on high, and He reigns in the heart of every believer that's here this morning. says, Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye. Even the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Now Isaiah is describing what God is going to do in this end time. He's talking about the majestic power of this king that's going to come and sit on the throne of David.
Oh, yeah.
He says, depart ye, go you out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go you out of the midst of her, be ye clean, be the vessels of the Lord, for you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God is of Israel will be your rearward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled. Now here he's talking about the servant. Here a minute ago he was talking about the king. Now he's talking about him, describing him as a servant. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man. His form more than sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see. And that which they had not heard shall they consider. Chapter 33. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all.
Oh, yes.
He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before the shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison to the judgment. And who shall declare this his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Referring to you this morning.
Amen.
He shall see their travail of his soul. I just want to read it again. And shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he is numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many. And made intercession for the transgressors. What I want to speak to you this morning on. If we could just by chance take a little bit of time this morning. We go back to chapter 53 and verse 1. The scripture says, who have believed our report? And to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed, or is the arm of the Lord revealed. But this morning I want to speak to you on who has believed our report.
Right.
We look at these scriptures here and we go back from, if you go back in verse chapter 49 and read through chapter 54, you will see Isaiah come and he's proclaiming the majesty of this king that's going to come, and he's going to reign, and he's going to come with vengeance, and he's going to come and he's going to enforce obedience, and he's going to blot out injustice, and he's going to exercise his kingly power, and he's going to judge the earth. But yet when we find him in Isaiah 53, we don't see this kind of example, but we see a servant of God, and he came and he was obedient even unto death. We find that he suffered injustice versus blotting out all injustice.
That's right.
We find that he didn't exercise his kingly power, but he didn't even open up his mouth. He was as a sheep dumb before his adversary. The scripture says that in Isaiah here, he proclaims this king's going to come and he's going to fulfill the covenant promises. But when we find him in Isaiah 53, he became the covenant promise. He was supposed to be welcomed by all of Israel. They were looking for this king to come, and yet he was rejected by his own, and his own received him not. The scripture says, we go back, and if you look again, he says, with the allegiance of mankind, he's going to come, and he's going to rule and reign. And yet we find out he was mocked, and he was spit upon. He was ridiculed for the testimony that he had. They were looking for a king to come, but he didn't come the way that they thought he would come. But he came another way, and yet they didn't even recognize his appearing when he showed up. Therefore, Isaiah is standing there with the prophets and ages gone by. Who had believed our report? He's sitting there telling you how this king is going to come. They were looking at him in verses 49 through 52, and they failed to see the servant that he would be in Isaiah 53, that he's going to come and he's going to bear your transgressions. He's going to come and he's going to take your iniquities and he's going to carry them away. Oh, think about the contrast here. Isaiah's image of the sovereign Lord acting in power than his image of a servant. No wonder that the Old Testament saints had trouble. No wonder they could hardly make it out. They're expecting this king to sit on the throne of David to do away with the enemy. Because the scripture says, if you believe the report of the Lord, then the arm of the Lord will be revealed unto you. See, we knew what that would mean. They knew what it would mean, that God's going to reveal him in power and glory and bring down his justice upon the world to obliterate evil. And yet, these people expected his arm to be revealed in power. Instead, he was revealed in weakness. We expected it to be impressive. Oh, he's going to show and everybody's going to know who this king is, who this one Isaiah is talking about. Instead, they were unimpressed. The Lord himself came in all his power and authority, yet as nobody special. A mere ordinary man and nothing more. Put yourself in that day. How would you respond? There wasn't even anything impressive about him. He wasn't handsome or imposing. No sense of majesty about him at all. He was just an ordinary man. So they thought. If he had won some great victories or achieved some stunning success, you know, may have won the spelling bee or something like that, or may have gone out to great battles and won and led Israel to battle and defeat and things like that. Yet he didn't do any of that. No stunning achievements, no great triumphs, only great sufferings, which he took and bore with all patient acceptance of a slave. He didn't show us mighty strength. He showed us weakness. His life was meaningless, of no value, or so they thought. How could this great servant of God come like this? How could we possibly have gotten it wrong? How could this be wrong? We were expecting this king to come. He's going to rule on the throne of David. He's going to come and he's going to do away with our enemies. How could we get it wrong? What we didn't realize here is that it wasn't his sorrows that he was taking. It was our sorrows that he was taking care of. It was our griefs. It wasn't his pain. It was our pain. It wasn't his weakness. It was our weaknesses that he bore. We stood back and we watched him suffer. We watched him die. We watched him lift no, and we lifted no finger to help him. We sit back and watch him, expecting him to come in great triumph. He's not going to the cross. Our king is not going to lay on the cross. And yet he did that, what? To take your transgressions away. He took our sorrows. He loaded our suffering on his back and he carried them. He took all our guilt, all our shame. He took everything that's wrong and twisted and distorted and broken in us. And he carried it all away, church. But it doesn't do you one bit of good for me to preach that to you if you won't believe the report this morning. You've got to believe the report and say, be it unto me, God. I accept the report this morning. I believe what he did for me. I understand what he did for me. I accept it this morning. We sit back and look upon it. Many of us today, we got the greatest message that ever struck the face of the earth. And we still wonder in bewilderment. Can this happen to me? Can he heal me? Can he be my Savior? Will he forgive me? Will he strengthen me? I tell you this morning, yes, he will.
Amen.
And yes, he has.
Amen.
He took everything that's wrong with us. All your complexes this morning, he took them and bore them on the cross. All your shame, all your failures, all your drinking, all your smoking, all your depression, all those things, he took those, but you must believe this morning. It was all by choice. It was all his decision. You know, these men, they thought they had control over them, the soldiers. They thought they had power over Jesus. They thought that they were imposing their will upon him, but they were wrong.
Amen.
He did nothing. He said nothing. He made no protest and put no up no resistance. But he could have. He could have called a legion of angels. But instead he had you on his mind. He chose everything that happened to him. It happened only because he allowed it. So when you get in your little molly grubs thinking you got a bad day or things, nobody loves you, nobody cares about you, put yourself back there. Realize he was despised and rejected, and yet he opened not his mouth. We sit there, we didn't esteem him, and yet he was stricken, smitten of God. And we didn't lift a finger to help him. The scripture says, this is us, we wander away. We wander away from God. We wander away from his counsel. We wander away from his healing. We wander away from his salvation. We wander away from his virtues and his strength. We all like sheep wander away. We go about our own way just because he tells us that he'll lead us to the best pastures beside quiet streams doesn't mean that we believe it. Come on, somebody. Because we've heard time and time and time again behind this pulpit, the prophet of God, and through the ministry of the word in this hour, trying to get you to realize who you are in this day, and yet many of you failed to believe the report. We've then told you and told you and told you that you are now sons and daughters of God. Not will be, you are now the sons of God. And as sons of God, we must operate in that capacity this morning. And yet you're told that, and told that, and told that, and many of you out there, defeated life.
Amen.
You're living defeated. Does he care enough about me to heal me? Does he care enough about me to deliver me? The promise is there. The report has been given. You must accept it now.
Amen.
Oh, he'll tell us, he'll lead us beside, you know, still waters into a green pasture. But like sheep, we think there's a grass is greener on the other side. Well, you know what? Brother Tim preached a little bit hard. He stepped on my toes. Or Brother Timothy or Brother Joe, there's a church right down the road. And there's one's 5 or 6 hours. Well, you know, the grass may be greener over there. You go ahead, take your problems there. You'll have the same problems you have here, there. See, all this happened because it was the Lord's idea.
Amen.
Because it was the Lord's will. He gave up his life as an offering for sin. And God accepted it because he was completely blameless.
Amen.
Completely without sin. And because he offered his life freely for us.
That's right.
Despite his sufferings, he still had you in his mind. Despite being spit upon and mocked, having his beard plucked from his side or from his face. Though he was of no value in human eyes, yet he's going to rise. He shall be lifted up. He shall be exalted as high as possible, even that the kings of the earth might stand speechless and they'll stand in awe when he comes again. He doesn't use his power to crush unrighteousness. He reaches out in love to win them back. The servant didn't use his power to defeat anyone, but he rather surrendered to give up himself as an offering for your sin, for your shame. The scripture says that it was by his stripes that we are healed. But he took your transgressions. What did he mean there? It means he took away all the sin that you did, all the transgressions that you committed, that you could be made righteous in his eyes. Has nothing to do with healing there, but he threw healing in there and he says, and by my stripes, you are healed. And it doesn't do you one bit of good, church, unless you believe it this morning. And we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It means you know you possess it. It means you know it's just as real as you're sitting in that chair. Faith, it means that, look, no matter what Satan says about you or anybody says to you or about you, faith knows I got the absolute. I got the substance right here. And when you believe God's report and you know that by his stripes you are healed, you can rise up to your feet and accept it. Amen. As thus saith the Lord. But you know, we find our many times we find ourselves as our fellow Americans did several years ago. It was reported. Let me just gain my composure this morning. It was reported several years ago. When I say several, for some of you old timers, this is probably when you were my age. Beep. Sir, there's something on the radar. Beep, beep. Sir, there's something on the radar. Looks like the Japs. Yep, looks like a whole fleet. A sudden attack on Pearl Harbor. The prophet of God said it really wasn't a sudden attack.
Right.
They had already heard and been warned. Beep,
right.
Beep. On the radar, it shows, picking them up way overseas there. It's showing them gathering their flight, their airplanes together to come and invade the United States.
Right.
And yet, they had already been warned that the Japs were on their way. But the sad part of it was they ignored the warning.
Right.
And I wonder about us. Oh, blessed be the Lord. We sit in a Methodist church. That has nothing to do with it.
Right.
If you fail to heed the warning. That has nothing to do. Oh, blessed, I believe God sent a prophet. They did too.
Yeah.
They believed the planes were on their way. Some of them. But the rest of them didn't have any clue. Oh, you know, you're just wanting to cause us to worry. And you know that tomorrow, where all of us are getting off tomorrow. And we're going to have this great big shindig. We're going to have this great big party. And all you want to do is just scare us with war and war and war. We want to go have a good time. Because we've been on duty for 30, 40 straight days.
Yeah.
And you find people today can't come to the house of God because they're taking a leave of absence.
Right.
Well, I got to take a leave of absence. You know, I've been on the front lines for so long. And I'm not saying that because nobody, I mean, those that are not here this morning.
Richard.
But we find if we're not careful in our Christian walk, we think, oh, well, I've been out there in the battle, so I'm taking a break. They had seen the signs of the Japanese army assembling themselves together, big ships being loaded with ammunition, and the threat was in the air, and this is just exactly in line for invasion, but they ignored it. That's the way it is today with the church. The church is in line for judgment, but they're ignoring the coming of the Lord. And I sit here, and I go to churches, and I look out there, and I say, look, they're ignoring the judgment that is coming. They've been told that you're the bride of Jesus Christ, and they sit back oblivious to the word. They're ignoring the signs of his coming. Oh, what they did. They laughed it off. Oh, that's nonsense. You're just a bunch of gloom builders, a bunch of worry warts. All you can think about is trouble. And on the night before the great attack, they had a great big party and big dance and a big party at Pearl Harbor itself. Brother Bram says, no matter how much they tried to say the Japs were coming, they still will not take the warning. And no many times, church, if your ears are not open, if you won't believe the report, as many times as we come across this pulpit telling you that you are the bride of Christ, that you have the authority to use his name, that you possess everything that Adam and Eve lost, you possess. But you got to believe the report. You got to take it to yourself. You got to heed the warning. You got to accept what the word says about you this morning.
Amen.
Amen.
That's it, brother.
getting close tonight. Brother Branham says, I could see at a home place, instead of them preparing to get out of the city, young girls were all putting up their new frocks and so forth. They were going down to have a great big jubilee that they were going to have. And the officers were writing the army guys little passes so they can go to this great big drunken party. Trucks roaring and humming and bringing the best of beer they could find. And, you know, and wine and stuff for the party all the time. The Japanese fleet that's on its road there, and they fail to hear the warning. And I wonder about us. Are our ears dull to hear the warning? Do we got our cares on things of the world? How much we can make out there? Or how much we can do this? And I'm too tired. I can't come to the house of God. Are we failing to hear the warning? Come on. Or is our ears open today and we see beep, beep, beep? We see the signs of His coming, church.
Amen.
He says, isn't that about like the way the world is today? About the coming of the Lord? Oh, you old-fashioned fogey back numbers. What makes you dress and act like you do? Brother Bam says, but we're looking for the secret sudden appearing of the Lord. For there's something in the air, the message of the Holy Spirit, that tells us the coming is at hand.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you today, church, there's three comings of the Lord, and we all know that. And we're in one stage of His coming right now. It's the bride coming of the Lord.
Amen.
And you've got to have your ears open, and you got to receive that report this morning. You can't shuck it off for somebody else. You got to believe that you're in that coming. You're the bride. He is here through you working and operating in bride form this morning.
Amen.
And what does that mean? That means you don't have to take any dictates to Satan. You don't have to listen to any of his lying devils.
Amen.
That you have greater power and more authority over him and all his kind, church.
Amen.
But you got to heed the warning this morning.
Amen.
Believe the report.
Amen.
We find the next morning. The man at the post of duty, sitting there watching the airplanes coming. Oh, he done fell asleep.
Right.
He was up all night and falling asleep at his post of duty.
That's it.
I wonder how many of us are allowing ourselves to fall asleep at our post of duty.
Oh,
we'd rather go do this, rather go do that. Here he is, he's falling asleep at his post of duty. And all of a sudden, bombs start falling. Bombs everywhere. They're just in a massive invasion. Suicide bomber, kamikazes landing on planes and, on ships and in the everywhere. And just everything flying over planes and bombs drop. And they just battered the city to the ground because they wouldn't take heed to the warning.
Amen.
For if you won't take heed to warning, there's only one thing left. And that's judgment.
Amen.
And you find, even in some message churches today, our skirts are getting a little bit higher up.
Right.
Our tops are getting tighter.
Amen.
Because we're not heeding the warning.
Say it, brother.
Oh, I understand it's fashionable. But is it godly and holy?
Right.
And I go in message churches and I preach. And you see almost a total disregard for holiness. You find people, they won't take the instruction of the prophet that says, kick the television out of your home. Now we got more TVs in our home than we ever had before.
Right.
Some of us got one in every room.
Right. Say it, brother.
All right, get quiet all you want.
Preach, preach.
Yeah,
preach it.
You tell the people today that she's the Word made flesh, they can't receive it because they're living in a defeated state. Oh, not me. How can I be the Word made flesh? I got failures. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like I'm the Word. I got thoughts coming through my head and this, that, and another. And you don't feel like it's not based on how you feel.
Right.
It's based on what He says about you.
Amen.
And I asked you this morning, how do we change this?
Come on.
What do we do as a people to change this mindset? How do we turn this thing around so we can start believing what the Word says about us?
Amen.
What do we need to do, church? Believe the report.
Yeah.
Who had believed the report? To whom the arm of the Lord has been made revealed. What does that arm mean? That arm recognizes strength and power.
Right.
And when you take God's report, and God's going to reveal to you His strength and His power to work and operate on His behalf. You won't sit there, defeated Christian. You'll rise to the challenge. You'll take your authority. You'll take your clues and your cues from Almighty God.
Yes.
And you'll go forth into battle.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's like the couple that had their son who had black diphtheria. Brother Branham, they only gave the young man a couple hours to live. He was 16 years old. They only gave him a couple hours to live. And the couple said, they go get Brother Branham and let him pray. And, you know, they gave him a runaround because he had black diphtheria. And Brother Branham had three or four children at the time. And doctors didn't want him to take it home to his children and infect his family, infect his wife. But they said, well, you know, you let a priest come and give the last rites. He says, let Brother Branham, he's like a priest to us. He's that for us. So they dressed him all up and he went to go in. And Brother Branham says this, he goes, I said to the father and the mother standing there, I said, do you believe? Because it all hinges on do you believe. Your faith this morning, your salvation this morning, it all hinges on do you believe that you're still saved.
Amen.
Your healing this morning hinges on your belief that you are healed.
Right.
Your deliverance this morning, it all hinges on one word, believe.
Right.
And the prophet of God said, do you believe? And he said, ask God, Brother Branham. He goes, I knelt down and I started to pray. And while I was praying, the angel of the Lord came down and said, you shall live.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And I got up and I said, did you hear that, brother? He said, oh, yes, sir. They began to praise God.
Amen.
They began to praise the good Lord. They were clapping and shouting and having a good time. What about us?
Yeah.
When God comes by your way and he anoints your heart, I tell you, church, it should make you want to shout and jump and thanks be to Almighty God.
Amen.
Find many times we don't want to get out of order. We'd rather wait till service is over and then just shout and have a good time. What about in service?
Yeah.
This is when the battle is in array. This is when you're fighting. This is when you're gaining ground on the enemy. When you take your enemy out, I say stand and excited and accept it. And don't be afraid to shout and thank God.
Amen.
Amen.
Here they are, and the nurse comes back in. Oh, you, everybody's got to leave, especially you, Reverend Branham. You got to leave. And, you know, mom and dad were just happy. And they were so thankful. And, you know, and she says, what are you happy about? What are y'all so happy about? Don't you not understand that your son's got a couple more hours to live? Why are you acting this way? And the doctor said, didn't you just understand the report that I told you? Your son is dying. The old father spoke up. He says, yeah. He goes, you're right. That's what you said. But we're not looking at what you say. We're not looking at what the instruments say. We're looking at the promise of Almighty God. They had a choice there. They could go forth and continue to believe the negative report of the doctor or the negative report of that instrument, but they failed to believe that report, and they accepted the report of the Lord. And when they accepted the report of the Lord, Jesus Christ came on the scene and healed that young man. And he got up and walked out of the hospital room. He's that same kind of God to you this morning. He's that same kind of healer this morning. He's that same kind of deliverer for you this morning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you'll believe the word of God for you. Take your eyes off your condition. Take your eyes off your situation. And put your eyes back on Jesus Christ. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. But we find many times Satan tells us, you're going to lose your mind. How many of you have ever been told that? I got a couple honest people in here. The rest of you going to have to repent. He tells you. You know Satan talks to you.
That's right.
He talks to you sometimes more than you let God talk to you.
Oh
my. Hey, I'm preaching from experience, church. I'm not sitting up here just blowing smoke.
Right.
Satan tells you you're going to lose your mind and everything.
Yep.
Brother Bram says, you will if you continue on.
Right.
Now, he's talking to a lady, but I want us to pull it in ourselves. You will if you continue on.
Right.
Continue on what? Listening to his lie. Continue listening to his unbelief. But look at here, he says. Look, you got to get a hold of yourself before you can do anything. That's what I'm trying to get you to you this morning. Get a hold of yourself. Realize who you are. You're not what the enemy says you are. You're not what this one says you are. You're the bride of Jesus Christ. And it's high time that we realize that. And it's high time that we accept that today.
Amen.
You got to get a hold of yourself before you can do anything. The blessings... He says, the blessing's up on there. You couldn't get out of this building until Satan would tell you it wasn't nothing to it. And then when you do that, you're lost back again. See? You got to get yourself up here. You got to believe you're well, then go.
That's right.
You believe that you're healed.
That's right.
Then go and act like it. You find people come for prayer and they go act just as gloomy as they did when they walked up. You never believed. You went through the motions. You were hoping that, you know, something would happen when you got up there. You'd feel a tingle or a bump or a shout or something. But that's not faith. That's emotion. Faith is walking up there though you don't feel like it and you're stricken in your body and you walk away testify, God just touched me. God just healed me. I believe it. That thus saith the Lord. You say, Brother Joe, what are you talking about? I'm talking about just the same way with Brother Paul and Sister Sarah several weeks ago. He had called, or I called him on the phone asking about some things. We got to talking about his wife and how she's not been able to sleep. And the doctors diagnosed her with some kind of multiple sclerosis or something like that. And been in a lot of awful pain. And I just felt moved upon my heart. I said, well, look, when church is out, when she gets off work, because we're streaming tonight, when she gets off work, y'all come to the house and we'll lay hands on her. We'll pray. Because let me tell you, church, I believe every person I put my hands on, God's going to act. God's going to respond. And if you don't feel that way, shame on you. We should expect God to move when we pray. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. Well, she come over to the house, or they come over to the house, and I begin to go through some scriptures, building up her faith. Letting her realize, look, you got to accept the report or you got to turn down the report. The choice is yours this morning or this evening. I begin to show her, look, this is what the Word says about you. This is what the Word says that you can be. You don't have to be here stricken. You don't have to remain afflicted. And Brother Paul and I agreed together. And we laid hands on his wife and we began to pray. And she fell out on the floor. Convulsing. Because why? Because that devil had to leave. She got up from there. Tears in her eyes. And you can ask Brother Paul and Sister Sarah. She's been able to sleep every night since. She's not had any problems with her back since. That ain't me. That has nothing to do with man. That has something to do with somebody taking God at his word and believing, Lord, by your stripes, I'm already healed. I don't have to sit here and take this from the enemy anymore.
Amen.
And when you accept the word for you and for your day, God is going to respond and God will move on the scene and God will bring that thing to pass, the thing that you have need of. I've seen it happen one too many times, church. I can sit there and my little girl come to me sick and, I mean, just awful sick. Papa, pray for me. I pray for her. She was up running around that evening.
Right. Amen.
Well, Brother Joe, she wasn't that sick. No, she was sick. God came on the scene.
Amen.
You know, we need to operate in our capacity a lot more.
That's right.
Just like I told you the last time I preached, I believe with an expectancy every time we ask something from God, God is going to bring it to pass.
Amen.
I believe it for you this morning. If you're sick in your body, I believe we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Yes.
I'm expecting miracles upon miracles in the house of God, in the body of Jesus Christ. Because look, we are made an invincible army. It's time we start operating as an invincible army. It's time we say, no, Satan, I'm not taking it anymore. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to stand toe to toe with you tonight. You've got to believe you're well and then go. If you believe that you're healed, then go act like it.
That's
just
right.
Go thanking God.
Yes.
That's the key right there. Though you feel like it or not, go thanking God. You go back and listen. It was one service back, I think it was 1958. Not exactly sure which one. I tried to find it to bring it to you today, but I couldn't find it. But I was listening the other day. Brother Bannon was going through a prayer line. And he was telling the people, he says, now when you come through the prayer line, as soon as the first hands are laid upon you, you throw your hands up and start thanking God right then. That's how you get your healing. That's how you get your deliverance. When those hands are laid upon you, you don't say, well, I guess this is, you know, all in your head. This ain't going to happen. I'm just doing this for naught. No, you just go to thanking God. Say, thank you, Lord. I believe it, Lord.
Amen.
He says, don't say nothing about nervousness no more. Go on. Don't accept nothing the devil gives you. Just go on and thank God.
Right.
You've been all screwed up in your life. See that? All kind of mixed up. Now go on and believe God.
Yeah. That's right.
Do we say amen just to pacify time, or do we say amen because we believe what I'm telling you this morning? Do you really believe this morning? When the hands are laid upon you, you didn't even got to have hands laid on you. You can believe right there in your seat, just as we saw our sister Lana the other night. The Word of God spoke to her, and she jumped up and accepted it right under the inspiration of God. She didn't wait till the service was over. She didn't wait to come have hands laid upon her. You don't have to either, church. You can accept it right now in your seat. Yes, God, thank you, Lord. I believe, Lord, today.
Amen.
Satan sometimes tells you crossed the line. See, he's telling you, because he don't want you to hear the report of the Lord.
That's right.
You crossed the line. You're practically all nervous all your life. He goes, I've seen you try to do something, to make beds or something. You get so nervous, you have to go sit down. But you've been praying. You've been trying to be healed, trying to be healed. And I wonder how many of us have been trying to be healed.
Come on.
Trying to work yourself up to be healed, because you really want it. But you just hadn't accepted it yet.
Right.
You've been trying to be healed. When this lady was being prayed for just now, you felt something strange come over you. Is that the truth? If it is, raise up your hand. If that's the truth, I've told you the truth. He goes, I've never seen you. You're just a lady that's walked up here and sat down. I'll tell you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are healed.
Amen.
Go home. You're well. Amen. Have faith in God. Don't doubt. Believe. That's where it all hinges, church, on belief.
Amen.
You got to believe what the word that's coming across this pulpit, that it's the word for you, for your hour, for your situation, for your day.
That's right. Amen.
We find, though, that Satan has taken man's head and begin to control man by his head and by his thoughts and by his intellectualism. But God controls the heart. God takes the heart. The devil makes you look sometimes, or makes you look at something and say, well, you know, this can't be. I don't understand how they do that. You know, how does this do this? How does this do that? You know, he's got it in your head.
That's right.
But God wants in your heart. And when God is in your heart, you'll cast down imaginations.
Amen.
And by faith, you'll believe the things that you can't see.
Amen.
You'll believe for healing when
yes.
you can't see it.
Amen.
You'll believe for your lost loved ones out there, though they're wayward and backslidden.
Yeah.
You'll believe for deliverance because you've been dealing with a tormented spirit. You'll believe, but Satan will get in your mind and he'll bring these thoughts and bring these thoughts. And it's like that old farmer said, you know, I can't stop the birds from flying over, but I can sure stop them from roosting in a tree.
Right.
It's high time that we take that and start allowing the enemy to roost in our minds and bring defeat and bring conviction and bring and just constantly live in a steady state of defeat in our Christian walk. We're sons and daughters of the living God today.
Amen.
We're called to battle. We're called to operate in a capacity as warriors, knowing that, look, he's our leader. He's gone before us into battle.
Amen.
All he's asking us to do is follow his leadership.
Amen.
Amen.
Satan uses man's head. He chose that in the Garden of Eden to take man's head, his thinking, and he's brought that down to the church. The devil takes man's head so he can use his eyes. He uses his eyes, things you look at. You young brothers know how it is.
Right.
In this day and age, I mean, Satan's got his girls, the women, the female gender, this day and age, so scantily dressed. And yet he'll use your eyes to make you think, oh, you're a sinner because you looked at that. Sometimes you can't help but looking at that because it comes right in front of you.
Sad, brother.
But you don't have to stare at it.
Amen.
You don't have to let the thoughts begin to roost. And then you go into here, and then you're on the internet here, and you're in the magazine now here. No, you got to cast down imaginations. You can't help them when they fly over, but you can sure pull out Acts 2:38 and begin to blast them out of there. Because realize who you are.
Amen.
How many believe Satan lies to you?
Amen.
Tries to make you think something's wrong with you. That you're not going to get well. Make you think that your time is near.
Yep.
That's Satan's trick.
Yep. Right. That's it.
He said, Brother Joe, I thought you was talking about, you was going to preach on who's bleed, the report of the Lord. Why are you talking about all this stuff Satan is doing?
Preach it, brother.
Because Satan goes to talking to you.
Amen.
And if you don't recognize his voice over God's voice,
right.
or God's voice over his voice, you'll live defeated.
Amen.
You'll live in a defeated state. Now, Brother Branham's saying in the message here, the Church of the Living God, he says, Satan lies to you. And he's talking to his sister. He tries to make you think that everything is wrong with you. You know, that's kind of not like it is today. He goes telling you today that everything's wrong with everybody else but you. Well, I guess they got a problem. He could put a complex in your mind. Instead of you going back and looking at you, you're looking at everybody else. That man, I don't know what her problem is or what his problem is. Did you see the look he gave me?
All right.
See, Satan lies to you. He'll make you think that it's all you, and he'll make you think that it's all everybody else. The problem is, it's all him. And you fail to recognize yourself as a son or daughter of God. He tells you you're not going to get well. And make you think that your time is near. Make you think sometimes you cross the line. That there's no hope for you in God. You don't feel the little tug anymore. And this is what Brother Brown was talking to his sister about. Then he goes and he prays for her. He says, you're healed now. You go home, be well. Now remember, you're going to feel like you do. Oh, now happy, real good for about 72 hours maybe. 72 hours to 75, you're going to get a little sick. You're going to have a little sick spell. You're going to have a severe headache. Don't you worry then. You just continue to thank God for your healing.
Amen.
That may last for a while. You'll get a little dizzy, swimmy-headed, upset. You'll even have to go to bed, but don't get weary.
That's right.
Now, this is what... Now, you hear Satan trying to tell her now. All of a sudden, the conversation is shifted from you're across the line, you're not going to make it, to here you're going to get sick, you're going to be there for 72 hours, you're going to get swimmy headed, you may have to lay down. He goes, now if I told you what was, then I told you what will be. If you know that that was the truth, what was, is that right? If it's true, then what was, and it's going to be true, what will be? Go and be healed, my sister.
Amen.
And that's the way we got to accept the word for our day, church.
Amen.
You know, we got to believe it just the same. We may get sicker when we walk out the door. We may feel worse than we ever felt when we walked in, but it has nothing to do with it. The word has been pronounced over you. Go and be healed and doubt no more. Or believe no more. Accept the word for yourself or for your family or for whatever your need is. The problem about it, though, we let so many negative thoughts come into our mind. A strange thing. You know, you find people today says, well, I'm weak in faith. I don't have very much faith. I'm weak. I'm not a very good Christian. That's just what the devil wants you to say. You're just talking his language right then. He says, you must have never said that. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. I'm saved. I have God in my heart. I believe him with all my heart. Do you believe in divine healing? With all my heart. Do you believe in miracles? I believe them today with all my heart. Do you believe in salvation from the law? I believe it today with all my heart.
Amen.
I believe it for you this morning with all my heart.
Amen.
Don't put it off till tomorrow or till your favorite preacher comes. Believe it today with all your heart,
amen,
all your soul, all your strength. It's the word of God for you.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right, brother.
He says, let your testimony always, your thoughts, everything, never permit a negative thought to come into your mind if you can help it. When it starts, you just cast it down.
That's right.
He says, no, sir, don't entertain them. Just pass them on. Yeah. Jesus Christ is my Savior. All things are mine by God. I'm going to keep them. I'm going to testify them.
That's right, brother.
And God can only bless you as you confess that he has done it for you. God can only bless you this morning as your confession holds true.
That's it.
Amen.
You sit in church and we think about everything else but God. Oh, now that's a quiet subject, isn't it? Like, oh, yeah, I'm thinking about riding my motorbike. I'm thinking about four-wheeler riding. You know, during hunting season, Lord, I have a problem with that. I'm thinking about deer hunting. Praying for that big old buck to come out who never showed up.
Come on.
Hey, just be honest now.
That's right.
I can't preach to you if I ain't truthful with myself.
Yeah.
We sit in church and we think about everything else but God. How are you going to do your washing? I don't think our sisters worry about that too much today. We're going to do it whenever we get time. What are you going to do tomorrow at the office? What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that, about the other? He says, keep your mind off of that and think on God.
Yeah. Amen.
Keep your mind off of what you're going to do after service. Yeah. Where are you going to eat? Old West will be there when you get there.
Amen.
Right.
Homer Seafood and the Chinese place will be there when we get there.
That's right.
But yet we got our minds thinking about this and our mind is thinking about that. And some of you today are thinking about the internet trying to get it back up. But don't be thinking about that. Keep your mind on God. Tune in right here for God. This is the hour of your visitation. This is the time that God has wanted to bring a word to you, that you'll believe the report, that you can be healed today. You can accept it today. You can be whatever your need is. You got lost loved ones out there. Today is the day of salvation. I say believe it today with all your heart. Keep your mind true on God. Keep your mind tuned in. Don't be thinking about tomorrow or the next day or this evening. Think about God. Tune in to God right now. Don't let those negative thoughts come in. He says, while I was praying for this, he says, and while I'm praying and speaking, I want you to catch Brother Branham's thought here. If we would do more of this, we will see God move in greater way. He goes, and while I'm praying and speaking, I want every person in here to have this in your mind. As soon as prayer begins to go forth for the sick, every one of you is going to get up and walk out of the building well. Amen. Well, Brother Joe, I'm not sick. Who cares? That has nothing to do with it. You're going to believe I'm going to get back up. I'm going to walk out. I'm going to be well. They're going to be well. All God's children are going to be well. What do? We take our faith and we bind our faith together and we believe the word of the God. That's why it's essential when when people come for prayer that you bind in. Because they may have weak faith, but we put our faith together. Amen. And we bind and we believe the word of God. Amen. That God can use you and your faith to move on their behalf. How many of you believe that this morning?
Amen.
Do you sincerely believe that?
Amen.
That no matter if you're not here sick, but yet somebody else, God can use your faith to elevate them to receive their healing.
Right,
I believe with all my heart.
Yes,
I seen it operating, Brother Paul and Sister Sarah. I know how God operates. My faith was so high, I knew as soon as I laid hands on her, God was going to miraculously touch her and heal her body. And he done it. He goes, you cannot get anything from God with a negative thought. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him.
Amen.
You got to confess, church, what the word says for you. We've done too much confessing of the devil.
Right.
We've done gone and said, you know what, I don't feel good today. Well, that's beside the point.
Yep.
I got a headache. You know, you may have a headache, but bless God, he's here to heal it.
Amen.
You may have a toothache, whatever it is. You may be going through the greatest battle of your life.
Amen.
And you may feel like nobody cares. Nobody's there. But I'm here to tell you, God is there.
Amen.
Scripture says he's an ever-present help in a time of trouble.
Amen.
I mean, if God can walk out on his word, then you have the opportunity to walk out on God.
Right.
But God's obligated to his word.
That's right.
Hebrews 3 verse 1 says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And that word profession means confession. You might come here, be prayed for. You might have angels lay hands on you. It'll never do one thing to you until you first believe it and accept it and confess it.
Amen.
You may have Brother Branham come back, stand behind this pulpit, call an altar call. You come standing in line. Oh, bless God, Brother Branham's back. He's going to pray for him. But unless you believe, not Brother Branham, but Jesus Christ is your healer, and he's here today to take care of that knee, it doesn't do you one bit of good. What does you good is believing what the word says for you. He's a high priest of my confession. I accept it, Lord. I'm healed today, Lord. By your stripes, I believe and I accept in Jesus' name. You got to first believe it, accept it, and then start confessing what the word says
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
That's right.
Hold fast your confession.
Amen.
Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. I'm trying to get you somewhere. Hold fast your confession of faith. How many believe you're saved this morning?
Amen.
Some of you are going to have to come to the altar when church is over. How many of you believe you're saved?
Amen.
How many believe you're not saved? If you go out and you start believing you're not saved, guess what?
That's right.
You'll not be saved.
That's right.
There's a quote in here I'm going to read in a minute regarding that, but let me just get to where I'm going here. He says, now, you'll never live above your confession. You believe that?
Amen.
Hebrews 3:1 now, the scripture says that he's a high priest of our profession, and that same word is confession. Look, I wasn't saved, Brother Bam's talking about. He goes, I wasn't saved. I'm not saved tonight because I get happy and shout. You're not saved today because you say amen to the word. That isn't it. I'm saved because the gift of God works through me. I'm saved because I met the conditions that Jesus Christ required of me. I'm saved according to the Bible. See, is that right? See? And not because I feel like I'm saved. Satan can whip you around a stump on your feelings.
That's right.
But he can't when it's thus saith the Lord. Satan will beat you around that stump, tell you ain't nobody caring about you, nobody loves you, you ain't saved, you just hoping so and trying to make yourself act like a Christian, and you trying to be the loudest in the church, and you trying to say amen when nobody else will to work the preacher up and all this. Satan tells you that. He'll whip you around the stump, but he can't do it when it's thus saith the Lord.
All right.
Oh, I love that. You say, why do you love it so much? Because he beats me around the stump sometimes. Just be honest with you.
Yep. All right.
He cannot heal you. He cannot save you. He cannot do one thing for you until you first accept it and believe it and confess it.
Amen.
He's not the high priest of our feelings. He's the high priest of our confession.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Joe, I just don't feel like coming to church today. I wish you'd hurry up so I can go home and take a nap. That's a bad confession.
Yes,
man, you see me back in the study just a minute ago. Brother Darrell, tell you, I'm shaking like a leaf on a tree. I'm trying to get the internet going 20 minutes after service, dealing with the crying baby all morning. I'm shaking, wondering, like, Lord, you got to come on the scene.
Yeah.
But I confess them, God, you're here.
Amen.
This is your word. These are your people. I'm just an oracle that you can use, just a microphone. God, speak through me. I'm stepping out by faith, not with my own ability, but with an availability that you can use me this morning to speak to one soul this morning. See, he's a high priest, not of my feelings and not of your feelings, but he's a high priest of what you confess him to be for you today.
Amen.
Amen.
He says, you let the saintliest person in this building right now just make up their in your mind that you're not a Christian anymore, and that's when you become not a Christian.
Yep.
It's just that simple.
Yep.
You're same way with healing. You say, well, you know, bless God, I got healed, and you know, but you know what? I lost it. Shame on you. You make up your mind that you're not a Christian, and you know what? You won't be a Christian anymore. When you get up and you go out and say, well, are you a Christian? No, I used to be. I'm not no more. You're falling from grace right then. See, it's either faith or unbelief. You're possessed with two powers, either faith or unbelief. If you got faith, you're saved because you're a believer. If you haven't got faith, you're a sinner.
Right.
Amen.
But the scripture tells us, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has believed our report? How many of you can say, I'm going to believe today, Brother Joe? I'm going to believe the report. Because I'm going to get to here. I'm not going to be much longer. And now y'all can say amen to that, I'm sure. Just say amen. Glory! I got one on, someday I got another. Brother Bam says in the sixth seal, and it says, believe the report. Then the arm of the Lord is revealed. The arm, the word of God is revealed. When you believe this word, the report that it says, then what does God do? God goes to reveal the word to you. And when he reveals the word to you, then no devil in hell can take it away. Because then it thus saith the Lord. Then it becomes a revelation from Almighty God. To whom is the arm, the word of the Lord, been revealed? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Hallelujah. The Word came down and was made flesh and dwelt among us without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God came down and took on flesh. The Word became you that you could become Him, church. God was made manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. See, the Word will be made revealed to you. You don't have, it won't be a hope so then. Because you take that word and you believe that word, God is under obligation to make it live for you. Brother Bram says in Message Absolutely, he says, Mark 16, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. It's about time we start believing.
Amen.
It's about time we start expecting to see these signs following believers.
Amen.
Are you a believer this morning?
Amen.
Well, then there should be signs following your ministry.
Right. Come on.
We should see. When we lay hands on the sick, we shouldn't say, oh, well, I guess I don't have the faith. Or I guess they don't have the faith. I guess they got sin in their life.
Oh my.
That's the first thought we come to.
Come on.
But it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. We can do that this morning.
Amen. Come on.
We can speak with new tongues. That shouldn't be foreign to us.
That's right.
Amen. Oh, when the Spirit of God comes down and we're all standing and somebody speaks in tongues, we swing our head back. Glory to God, what was that?
Amen.
It shouldn't be that way, church. We should expect God to move that way. We should expect God to speak to us through tongues if He wants to.
Amen.
It shouldn't be an unnatural occurrence. It should be something we expect God to do.
Amen.
Speak with new tongues, take up serpents, or drink any deadly thing. It would not harm them. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Amen.
It says nothing about maybe recovering. And the Word also tells you today, and we'll bring this down to a personal walk or to a unified body. What the Word, the report is telling you this morning. Because I don't want you to think I'm just here to get you worked up so I can lay hands on you. That has nothing to do with it. I'm trying to get your faith built up to a place where you can realize and receive your position in the body of Christ. Because unless you ever receive that position and what God has called you to be, you'll always operate as a defeated person.
Right.
But when you recognize who you are, who God called you to be, and the authority by which He gives you to operate in, then there's no devil that can stand before you or your prayer.
Amen.
The same God that told Brother Branham, if you can get the people to believe, nothing will stand before your prayer, not even cancer. Look, that still holds true for you and I today because we're the body of Christ here on this earth. It's the bride coming of Christ. And if it was that way for a prophet of God, how much more is it for the bride of Jesus Christ? It'll move the same way as it did then, church. You don't have to look back 40 years ago. He's not a dead God. He's a living God.
Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. See, I believe He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, Christ lived in you, the works Christ would be done through you, the life of Christ would be lived through you, the works He did, the life He lived, everything it would be lived in you, just like if Shakespeare, Beethoven, or whoever it is lived in you. But if you're living the life of Christ, and if Christ is in you, He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Maybe you're here this morning, you're in a battle, and it's a mind battle, and you don't know who you are. But you know you had an experience with God. You need to take that scripture right there and you need to tie it on your heart. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. Greater is this God that I'm believing. I may not feel Him. He may feel a million miles away. But I believe, God, greater are you that's in me right now than this demon that's tormenting my mind. This demon that's tormenting my body. This demon that's coming against me and persecuting. Greater is He that is in me this morning, church. He said, if your doubts and your frustrations about God's promise is in you, then Christ isn't there. You're only worked up. But if the life, if Christ is living in you, His Word will be recognized and the promise He will do.
Yes. Right.
If you put all your doubts aside and say, I'm going to trust God today. I don't care what I have to do. If I got to walk through the fiery pits of hell, I'm going to walk through trusting in the living God.
Yes.
You got to believe what you ask for when thou prayest. Believe that you receive what you ask for.
Amen.
Not where does He ever tell you to doubt what you're asking.
Right.
No, believe.
Amen.
Amen.
Believe, and it shall be given unto you.
That's right.
If you've got a need this morning, ask God. It ain't all just about healing.
That's right.
That's just a minor.
Yeah.
No, some of you got loved ones out there in the world lost. If God doesn't move on the scene, they're going to a sinner's grave and a devil's hell. But look, you can have faith today that the thing that you ask for, God is more than able to bring it to pass.
Right. Amen.
If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say shall come to pass, you can have what you say. That's the word of God for you this morning.
That's right.
Amen. Oh, Brother Joe, I can't see no mountain moving just because I'm speaking to it. That's because you're only looking at it from one side. You don't know what's taking place on the other side of that mountain.
Amen.
God can cause a great big earthquake to take place and move half the mountain off on the other side. But we're just so based going on our side. He said, the same Christ lives in you. If it lives in us, then the works that he will do, because Christ is the word and the promise of the word brings healing to you.
Amen.
Brother Bram says this. I want you to see who you are. As he being the groom, this is out of, it's the rising of the sun. As he being the groom, the bride has to come forth. Because it's part of him. And it can only be the manifestation of the fulfilling of all revelations any others has spoke of the bride. And it can only manifest. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride. Listen, because she is flesh of his flesh. She is bone of his bone. Life of his life. Power of his power. She is him. Is that just a cliche to you?
No.
You're flesh of his flesh. What does that mean? Do I got to be crucified? No, he's already done it for you.
Amen.
Power of his power. That means that you can speak and things are going to move out of the way. No, he never opened up his mouth.
Amen.
He just believed what the word said for him.
Right.
And he went forth and accomplished.
Life
of his life. The same life that dwelt in him dwells in you. She is him.
Amen.
Amen.
But Satan tell you, nope, you never had an experience. But prophet of God, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God's instrument in this day has come to you with a report declaring that you are him.
Amen.
You are the bride of this last day. There's not coming another day. There's not another messenger. There's not another bride. She is him.
Amen.
We are now as the bride pregnated with his spirit. Oh my, the church bearing children. See, pregnated by the Holy Spirit with his name. Bearing his name. Bearing his life. Bringing forth the signs of his life. Evident with the preeminences. Evidence of his resurrection. Showing that he is not dead. But he's alive forevermore.
Amen.
We tell you that you're the Christ. In bride form. You're the word made flesh. The people of God are being made ready by the word of truth from the messenger to this age.
Amen.
This is what the prophet of God has preached in the message, the resume of the church ages. In her will be the fullness of Pentecost, for the Spirit will bring the people right back to where they were at the beginning. That is thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
In the Smyrna church age, Brother Branham gives a report. He says, before there was ever a speck of stardust, before God was God, the bride was already in his mind.
Amen.
Yeah, she was. She was existing in his thoughts. And what about those thoughts of God? They are eternal, are they not?
Amen.
He has chosen us in him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. That means that we're right there with him in the mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. That gives an eternal quality to the elect.
Amen.
You can't get away from that.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, that should make some of us just move to tears.
Amen.
He says in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he said, before Christ or anything else was ever on the earth, you see his great mystery that he chose the bride.
Right.
He chose you before he even had Christ on the earth. He chose you knowing that Eve would fall from disbelieving the word, knowing that she would fall, but he would choose a bride, glory to God today, that would not fall.
Amen. Amen.
That would hold true to the word regardless of what all the rest of the world had to say about it. They would hold true to that word. They are predestinated to stand there. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ.
That's right, brother.
He also tells us in the message of revelation of Jesus Christ, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit will come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, his attempted destruction of God's people, and his discrediting of God's word right down to the time that he's cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. Amen. This is not just some pipe dream. Yes. This is not just some prophet trying to work somebody up. This is thus saith the Lord for you, church. Amen. If you can realize and discern and withstand the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church and withstand it, then you will be the invincible army that God has declared you to be. And when you recognize yourself as that army, then you'll go forth and you'll never be defeated again. You'll slay every devil, every demon power that will come your way.
Amen.
He said if the church get a true revelation of the spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and that God's spirit discern and withstand Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless.
Amen.
Powerless. That means he has no power over you no more. What does it mean? What do I got to do? Believe what the word says about you. And when you can believe this word and discern the two spirits, one's a doubting spirit and one's a spirit of truth. When you believe the spirit of truth and hold to it, then Satan will be powerless before you.
Amen.
He will be definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood him in every effort to gain power over him in the desert. But you know how the enemy comes. And I'm close to closing. The enemy comes. And he comes with condemnation. But you did. You start believing the word. But you did. Because you did that. Because you said that. Because you acted that way. But you did. Let me give you a scripture that you can give to him. How many wants that?
Amen.
We're almost over. You don't have to get quiet right at the end now. Come on, it's time to get excited. He says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now. Can you say now? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who has walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. I would tell Satan, they say, there's now no condemnation. You can't hold healing from me any longer. You can't hold this from me any longer. You can't hold my son and my daughter from me any longer. You can't hold salvation from me any longer. Because now there's no condemnation. Because I'm walking in the Spirit. I believe in what the Word says about me. I'm accepting what the report of God is. Here's you another scripture. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation?
No.
Come on, y'all can give a better no than that.
No.
Shall distress?
No.
Or persecution?
No.
Excuse me, or famine?
No.
Or nakedness?
No.
Or peril?
No.
Or sword?
No.
Verse 37, nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors. I'm telling you this morning, you're more than a conqueror.
Amen.
Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, it shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've been in a battle of the mind, I'm telling you, start professing what the Word says about you. No demon power, no tribulation, no distress, no pearl, nothing can separate me from the love of my God. In the message I know my Redeemer liveth, the prophet of God says, God's purpose can never be defeated.
That's right.
There is nothing can defeat it. So happy are we to be today, resting upon that beautiful revelation of the Word of the living God. God's got a purpose for your life. No matter what you go through, Satan can't defeat it. He said, there is neither things present, nor things to come, nor sickness, nor sorrows, no death, no peril, no nothing can separate us from the love, from the purpose of the living God. What God has imagined in His mind, what God has purposed in His heart to bring to pass, there is no demon, there's no power, there's nothing can ever separate us from God's immortal, eternal plan. I'm telling you this morning, there is nothing that can separate you from the love that is of Christ Jesus. But you've got to first accept what the Word says. That's the report that's going forth. You are the bride. You are the invisible ornament. You are the Word made flesh. You are Him. She is Him. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. Now, there is no more condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't do you one bit of good unless you believe the Word. I want the musicians to start making their way back. I need my wife to come. And she's in the nursery. Maybe she's almost done. Listen to what the prophet of God says in the end time. He goes, if I have told you the truth, and God's confirmed it to be the truth, then you believe me now. I'm telling you the truth. And I'm asking you this morning, do you believe what I've told you today to be the truth? He says, now I want you to lay your hands over on one another. I want you to listen closely. I want the whole audience to repeat after me in prayer. I'm going to say it. And listen to what he says. Do you believe God tells me the words that will defeat Satan? Amen. I'm asking you this morning, do you believe that God told the prophet words to defeat the enemy? Amen. Do you believe that he's here today telling you the same words to defeat the enemy? Amen. If you answer yes to that today, then there should be nothing to stand before your prayer. Right. You have a need this morning. See, what is faith actually possesses the substance to every promise of God. Faith doesn't lay dormant or idle. Faith is an attribute of God and attributes has of itself. Anything that you have need of tonight, or this morning rather, you can receive because faith is the substance. Faith is the voice of the Word. You give voice by your faith and make that Word manifest what you have need of. Your positive confession in God's Word will move God on your behalf. And the arm of the Lord will be revealed to you. Psalms verse or 121 verse 1 says, I will lift my eyes unto the hills whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. If I can get you just this morning to get your eyes off your situation, to get your eyes off of your sickness or your problem or whatever it is that's tormenting you, and put your eyes on the hills, which cometh your help. Hebrews 12, verse 2 or verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing that we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so do easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking where? Unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Amen. If I can get you just for the minute, church, to take your eyes off of what the doctor report says. Take your eyes off of what the instruments are showing. We're not going to look at our condition. We're not going to look at our circumstance. We're not going to look at our sickness and say that we can't be healed. We're not going to rely on our feelings because Satan will beat us around the stump on our feelings. But we're going to lift up our eyes to the hills which cometh our help. We're going to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're going to believe what the Word of God says for us for this day, church. He says, what we need today is men and women today of gallant spirit, men and women who are determined to hold on till they see God that really live come into action, that will take no for an answer. It's high time that we say, no, Satan, you're not going to torment me anymore. I'm not going to stay defeated anymore. I'm not going to stay sick anymore. I'm not going to stay bound over complexes anymore. I'm saying no to your Word, and I'm saying yes to Jesus Christ. thing about it. You ready for your song? Let me just tell you a quick testimony. I put it on Facebook last week. A friend of mine I went to high school with. He's 36 years old. I'm 37 now. I turned 37 last week. It happened to be on Friday, my birthday. He posted something on Facebook about him and his wife having problems. This boy was a rank sinner because I used to run with him. I would drink with him. I'd see the things that he would do. And I'd do a lot of them, but a lot of them I wouldn't do. He was, if you had to say, he was worse than I was. Just a rank sinner. Didn't have a godly home, didn't have a Christian upbringing. But he posted something on Facebook and I responded to him. And I told him, I said, Jesus Christ is your only answer. Well, other people are posting this about his wife, about this, and you know, she's this, she's that, this, that, and the other. Well, I decided to not post another post on Facebook. I decided to text him. Send him a little text. Let him know, look, Jesus is your way. Well, unbeknownst to me, another friend of mine that we grew up with, he became a Christian around the same time I did. He's a nominal Christian young man. Great guy. I tried to get him to the Lord over here to believe the message of the hour, but he couldn't see it. But I didn't hold that over him. You know, lady, you believe what you believe, live as close to God as you can. Well, it happened to be on that day that this one friend of mine was taking this young man back to his house in Arkansas, some 3 or 4 hours away, to get all his clothes, all his goods, and bring him back because he was moving back home to his hometown. He was leaving his wife and his children and all that because of this situation. Well, on their way back, they drove all the way there 4 hours. They began to get all the way back, and they were just about to cross the Mississippi River Bridge back into Mississippi from Arkansas. And I'd called him, and he'd call me back, and they were just crossing the bridge, and I got him on the phone. And it come to find out that all the deal with his wife, it wasn't what was portrayed. It was completely different. But God used that, and I was in my office, and an anointing came into my office. And I just felt so inspired to begin to witness to him of the grace and mercies of God. I said, look, I said, man, called him by his name. I said, Chuck. I said, Chuck, I used to be right there where you are. I used to run with you. You know, I used to drink with you. I used to be there every party we would go to together. We used to do these things. I said, but look at my life now. I said, I don't have to worry about my wife. I can leave for a month on end at a time. I never had to worry about another man coming and laying in the arms of my wife. Nor does she have to worry about me in the arms of another woman. I said, you can have that same Christ today. I began to work on him and work on him and work. And I said, Chuck, right now, I said, look. I said, are you ready to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? He goes, I don't know. He goes, I want to. I said, Chuck, I said, you're not promised to cross that bridge that you're on. I said, but if you should happen to not cross it, right now you can have the assurance that you'll be on the other side. I said, will you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today? He said, yes. I said, well, then you tell Stevie to pull the car over. He pulled the car over. I said, Stevie, I said, I want you to put your hands on him and we're going to pray together. And we led Chuck in the sinner's prayer. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Why? Because he believed the report that I gave. He believed the testimony that God changed me. He looked at my life. He saw what God has done. He says, I want the same thing, church. And he sent me a text just Friday. He says, I just wanted you to know. He goes, I thought you would love to hear this. He goes, I put in for a new job. Don't know if I'll get it or not. He goes, I just wanted you to know, I put in for it and I'll be home every night with my family. I'll have every Sunday off so I can take my family to church. He said, and God gave me the job. I said, what about us as Christians? What about us as believers? Who will hold out on God? He will go here. He will go there. And you see the young man said, I'm going to take off every Sunday and take my family to the house of God. Why? He believed the report. He believed what God said to him. He accepted it to that day. I'm going to read this last quote as I close. This is in the message, Perfect Faith. He said, the great physician who is here, who said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If you say that this mountain be thou removed, and don't doubt in your heart, but you can believe, if he can create squirrels, who has no way at all, nothing there to believe, it was my faith that goes and does that. My faith in what he challenged me to ask. He challenged me to ask it, and I received his challenge in obedience to the word. I asked it, and it appeared. That's not just for a prophet, church. That's for you today. He says, now, God in heaven knows that's the truth. Can he also heal the sick? How many of you sick this morning? We got one or two that's here. How many of you got a need this morning? Almost every hand that's up. Can he also heal the sick? If he can lift me with faith up this way, even for the people. All right, I want you to clue into this. If he can lift me with the faith up this way, even for the people, even if they can't climb to that bracket, if they can't do it, he can use my faith. He can lift me to that place. And he says, I'm climbing for you. I'm believing for you. And I'm asking for you. And I'm telling you this morning, church, you that raised your hand, whether you got a need in your body or a need in your home, whatever it is, you may not have the faith, but I believe today that God can use my faith. I'm climbing for you, church. I'm believing for you, and I'll ask it for you if you'll believe God's report this morning. As our sister sings that song, you search your heart. If you've got a need this morning, don't stay idle in your seat. Today is a day that you can see the unexpected happen in your life. You receive the challenge of the word. Speak to your mountain. Tell it to move out of the way today. And you sit back and wait and watch God move that thing right out of your way. I believe it today. I'll be glad to pray with you. That's why I said we got to put our faith together. And when we bind our faith together, just as Brother Paul and I did, you'll see the miracle take place. And his wife back there is a living miracle of the power of God in one moment's prayer of two brothers binding their faith together. Climbing, saying, believing, and proclaiming the word of deliverance. That same God is here today. Won't you let him move in your life this morning?
Though I can't see your holy face and your throne in heaven above, it seems so far away. And though I can't deep and unspeakable joy that makes my faith to stand. And Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. Though I can see died for all.
Sister and my own. Our sister got a negative report from the doctor the other day. Said her colon is so ate up with diverticulitis that there's no way for her to be healed. But she's standing here today, says, I'm not going to believe that report, but I'm going to believe the report that you gave this morning, that he's my healer.
Yes.
And I just asked you a minute ago, can you bind your faith together with somebody else? Though you may not be sick in your body, let your faith go to move on her behalf. How many of you will agree with me in prayer this morning? Oh, Father God, according to thy word right now, Lord, I lay hands upon my sister, God, according to the word of God, according to our faith as a believing body, Lord. You see the need, Lord. You see the colon that's ate up from diverticulitis. But God, we're looking to the promise of God. You said, by my stripes that we are made well. Lord, you told us, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Father, according to the word of God, now may you be able to manifest yourself, God. May you go forth in this colon, Lord, and drive out all the sickness, and Lord, and repair the colon to a perfect right condition. We ask it this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, because we're believers, and believers believe what the word says. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
You're Jehovah.